I don't know about you, but I love whenever I get to hear from our worship team. They are so gifted, and we are so blessed to have them. And what an incredible truth to celebrate today that our Jesus Christ is indeed alive. A couple of things I want to let you know about. If you have a Bible with you today, we're going to be jumping into the Gospel of John, chapter 11. So go ahead and head over to John 11, starting in verse 25. As you're headed over there, I want to give you a couple of pieces of information. First of all, I wanted to let you know that last week we voted as a church on the sale of a property, and that passed by an overwhelming majority, and so we'll be moving forward with that. Also, I want to keep you up to date on how things are going as we're moving through this COVID crisis. If you are someone who's in need of assistance, and we know there's a lot of folks in our community right now in our area who are needing help or losing jobs, then we want to let you know that as a church, we're here for you during this time. Just head over to hnw.org/online, and as you'll see, you'll go down there and you'll see that there's a form that you can fill out where you can apply for assistance, and we want to come alongside anyone who needs help. You guys are being so generous during this season. It's going to take all of our generosity to make it through this. And so if you can give during this time, we really appreciate it. Head over to hnw.org/give and you can give there. I want to let you know that your generosity has been doing some great things. We've been feeding some of our frontline healthcare workers. We actually, this week, the village that we do work in Kenya, we were able to feed for 3 months. So that's just incredible. And that's, believe it or not, for $6,500, we were able to feed that entire village for 3 months. So great stuff there. Thank you for your generosity. We're also planning the work on starting a blood drive and a food drive locally so that we can just continue to come alongside the forces that are here as we work together to move through this pandemic. So I just want to thank each of you for all that you've been doing, and grateful to have the opportunity to share the resurrection with you today. One more thing I want to let you know. If you want to get connected here at Houston Northwest, you want to join a group, you know, you want that community during this time, a lot of our groups are meeting via Zoom, and you can go ahead and join in on that. Just head over to hnw.org/online. Doesn't matter for kids, students, adults. There's resources for all members of your family, and you can get connected there. So we want to encourage you to do that. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll read from our scripture. Our scripture today is John chapter 11, starting in verse 25. So let me pray for us, and then we'll go from there. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, that Jesus is alive. How glorious that truth is. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Father, today I pray, let my words clearly communicate the reason that this is significant, why it's the most important thing that's ever taken place, in fact, and why today we can have hope because Jesus is alive. Father, I pray for any person who doesn't understand that hope, that today they would understand, that they would begin to walk in power, that they would say yes to you, and that they would live the truth of the resurrection day by day. And God, I pray that will lift you high and that you'll draw people to yourself. I pray this in the name of the one we hope to lift high, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, so let's head over to John chapter 11. We're in verse 25. So what's happened here is that one of Jesus's friends, Lazarus, has passed away, and his sister is sad about that. And so she's speaking to Jesus. And so Martha says to him that she knows that Jesus will be risen on the last day. And in verse 25, we read this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is the word of the Lord. Well, guys, I've been reading a pretty cool book lately. I want to share that with you. It's a book by Bill Bryson. It's called The Body, and it's really just kind of a great attempt to nerd out on my behalf so that I can really understand just the miracle of the human body. Some great stuff in there. But the final chapter in the book, fittingly, is about death. And the opening quote in the final chapter about death says this, pretty good quote, exercise regularly, eat sensibly, die anyway. We're all going to die. I mean, we know it. You know it. I know it. It's going to happen. Every single one of us one day will turn cold and we will die. We will become food for worms. We will become the stuff of the earth. It's going to happen to every single one of us, provided that Jesus does not return. I mention that today for a very specific reason. We need to grapple and come to terms with death. Right now, in the season of COVID and coronavirus, people are dying. There's very real situations happening right here in our local community. This past week, kind of a heartbreaking story I heard of a local woman in her mid-40s who passed away from COVID. I'm sure that you probably have similar stories as well. One of the couples in my life group in their 30s talked about the fact that they had never decided to write up a will, and they suddenly were confronted with the fact that their mortality is real and they needed to really consider doing that. The reason that I bring that up is simple. We all will die, and it's a very real thing. So how do we have hope in the midst of such a situation? Well, I bring that up because on Easter, we celebrate the truth that Jesus is alive. And as Jesus is alive, I believe that it's actually the resurrection that gives us hope. There's kind of a saying or a thought going around in a lot of Christian circles that the cross is all that we need. And I want to be clear, the cross is enough for forgiveness, but you need the resurrection. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15, that if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then you ought to feel sorry for us. But if Jesus is alive, then we have the greatest truth in the world. And I want to explain to you today why I think that the resurrection of Jesus truly has the power to change you. So quickly today, I want to tell you two things that Jesus gave you whenever he came back to life. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus means that you will live forever. Now, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you will live forever. That's what the promise of the resurrection is. And that's what Jesus said in that verse that we just read. He said very clearly that he is the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in him will not die. But there was actually a theological debate in Jesus's day about whether or not there was any kind of an afterlife. And there was a group of people in Jesus's day known as the Sadducees who said that there was never any way that people came back to life or that there was a resurrection. Martha, the person who was speaking with Jesus, believed in the resurrection. And she actually said, no, I believe that my brother will come back to life in the resurrection. But Jesus actually settled this debate when he came back to life and through also some of his teachings. Before Jesus died, he said that in my Father's house, there are many rooms. So sometimes we talk about that and we're like, oh, we all get a mansion and glory. I want to tell you what that phrase means. Jesus uses the phrase and he says that in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Now that phrase, that word for rooms is mone. And that is like a hotel room, a temporary lodging. You would not stay in the mone all the time. It's a place where you go and you kind of hang out. So remember, as Jesus was speaking to the thief on the cross, right before he died, the thief said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today I tell you the truth, you will be with me in paradise. So most of the time we think of heaven as the place that you go after you die. But the Bible actually, Jesus himself refers to it as paradise. Why does that matter? Well, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Paradise is that holding area, that hotel room, that temporary lodging where we go after we die. When you take your last breath on this side of death, and then your next breath is drawn in, if you're a believer in Jesus, you'll be in paradise. But that is not our end destination. That's sort of the way station, the holding point before we get to our final destination. Our final destination will actually be whenever Jesus Christ returns. And the Bible describes this in a few places in all of its glory. 1 Thessalonians, for instance, we read about the fact that Jesus will return and the dead in Christ will rise first. That means that your soul, which will be in paradise, will then somehow miraculously come and rejoin with your body. Now, yes, your body will have somehow disincorporated over time and it will have disintegrated into the ground, but somehow miraculously your body will be brought back together and your body and your soul will be reunited. Now, why do we care? We care because Jesus was enfleshed and Jesus was resurrected in flesh. He didn't come back from the dead without a body. No, he was in a body, and that tells us that God has intended us from the very beginning to be people who are eternally embodied creatures alongside his son, Jesus Christ. So that means that the body that you have, that for all of its flaws and faults, will one day finally be completely healed, completely restored, and reunited with your soul. So if you're a believer in Jesus, that's incredible news. But this is where it gets even greater. Your body and your soul are reunited here on earth. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that at the end of time, as Jesus returns, he will come back to make all things new. When he says he's making all things new, he's making all things new. So I know you're probably listening to this and thinking, that seems a little crazy. How do I know that I can trust this to be the truth? Whenever I was a younger man, I went camping one time with some of my friends, and we went to Big Bend National Park. Maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. But there's a place in Big Bend where the Rio Grande River goes right along some cliffs. And, you know, being young men and foolhardy and full of ourselves, we climbed all the way up to the top of these cliffs and we looked down into the river and we really thought about jumping in. But if I'm being honest with you, even though we were dumb, we weren't crazy. And so we decided, well, I don't know if that's the best thing to do. But for whatever reason, one of my friends said, I'm going for it. And he ran and he jumped off the cliff into the water. Well, thank God he was okay. In fact, he was just fine, never touched bottom. And he said, come on, it's great. Well, the next thing you know, everybody's jumping off the cliff and into the water. They had seen one person go and they knew that it was safe. And they said, okay, I'm going to go. Here's the thing that Easter shows us. Jesus went first. He went through death first. And he showed you, because the Bible says he was a man like us. He had a real body. And basically, he said this, look, I'm going through death. And as I go through death and I beat death, you can know that you can go through death too. And God will bring you out faithfully on the other side. Now, how did Jesus beat death? I don't know that I know that entirely. Where did Jesus go from the time that he was crucified until he was resurrected? Scholars have debated that for years. We don't know the answer to those questions, but we do know this. Jesus Christ conquered death, and him going first and then God raising him from the dead was the very proof that we needed to know that there would be a day, there would be a moment whenever God would bring us back to life as well. That is the truth. We can trust this because Jesus Christ went first, fully human and fully God. So today you can know this. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you will breathe your last here on earth one day. You will die. But then, if your faith is in Christ, your next breath will be in paradise with him. And then one day you can know that your soul will return, be reunited with your glorified body, and you will be part of what God is doing into eternity here as he remakes the earth, as he makes all things new. So what does it mean when he makes all things new? It means that all things are set right. Viruses are eradicated. Bodies are restored. Disease is no longer. Justice is finally served. There is no poverty. There is no more crying or tears. There is simply everything set right in the glorious vision that God intended for this place from the very beginning. We go back to the intended state of creation, and creation gets more and more glorious as we all work through worship and following after Jesus Christ. All things will be made new. It's going to be amazing. But here's the next thing that I want you to hear. So the resurrection means that you'll live forever, but the resurrection also means that you live now. The resurrection means that you live now. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So what does he mean by that? No mistake, it will be a glorious day whenever Jesus returns. But in the meantime, what do we do? I mean, you've probably thought about this before. Well, if you start to become a believer in Jesus Christ, what do you do between the moment that you say yes to him and the moment that you die? Yeah, sure, there will be that final day when you die and you'll go into paradise and then eventually return, and that'll be great. But what do you do between the moment that you say yes to God and the moment when you die? Well, N.T. Wright, the Bishop of Durham, put it very well, and I love this. Insofar, he says, as the event is interpreted, Easter has a very this-worldly present age meaning. Jesus is raised, so he is the Messiah, and therefore he is the world's true Lord. Jesus is raised, so God's new creation has begun, and we, his followers, have a job to do. Jesus is raised, so we must act as his heralds, announcing his lordship to the entire world, making his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus had been saying that he was the King, the Messiah, the chosen one that the people of Israel had been waiting for. But the things that he taught seemed backwards and baffling. He talked about forgiveness and love and grace and peace. He talked about faithfulness and he talked about a new sexual ethic. He talked about all kinds of things that were baffling to people in those days. As a result, many people rejected him as king because they wanted a military ruler. They wanted someone that, let's be honest, looks the way that many of our earthly rulers look today. They didn't want a kingship of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus came back from the dead, those who had heard him knew they had no choice. They had to truly believe in him because he had done something no one had ever done. He'd come back to life. So if he did that, he now was in charge. Have you ever been in a situation where you maybe got a new boss or a new coach or someone who is new in authority over you? If so, maybe you went through a phase where you said, I don't know if I want to follow this new person. I don't know if I trust this new person. Or maybe you had some friends who said, I don't buy into this new philosophy. And as a result, they got fired or they're no longer with the team or whatever. Because there comes a moment whenever you finally realize who's in charge that you have to either submit to their authority or not. Jesus is in charge. The resurrection proved that. By coming back from the dead, Jesus definitively answered the question of whether or not he was more than a teacher or a prophet. He answered the question by saying, yes, I am God in flesh. And you know that because no one else has ever come back from the dead. So that question has been answered. That means that he's the king, he's the Lord, he's the boss, which means that now we have to decide if we will recognize that he's the boss or if we'll choose to rebel against his authority. He wants you to come under his authority, to live with purpose, with passion, to be able to forgive and love your enemies. He wants you to be able to extend a kind of grace and love and compassion and generosity into the world that most people simply just don't understand. They don't because they've rejected his lordship, but you can receive it today. You can say yes to him. You see, this is actually the good life. Most people think that the good life is the beach with a drink in it that has an umbrella in it, or going to the mountains and hiking, or getting famous, or being successful, or getting some kind of achievement, or writing a book, or being in a movie, making a lot of money maybe. But success is none of those things. Success, Rick Warren says, is discovering who God made you to be and then being it. That is what success is. Well, God has made you to live according to the way of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, it's not easy. In fact, the way of Jesus is probably the most challenging way to live. Can you imagine living with forgiveness, love, grace, peace? It's not something that just comes naturally out of us. We're broken people. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to turn to Jesus in faith because we need his power to get us through until then. So how does that happen? Well, the Bible says that when you say yes to Jesus Christ, you receive his Spirit. I don't know exactly how it works. I wish that I did. I just know that it does work because it's happened for me, and I've seen it happen to countless others. As they say yes to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes in and takes up residence in their lives. And as that happens, that then means that you now can live in a way that you were never able to live before. You can resist temptation because you have the power of God in you. You can begin to break addictions and strongholds because the power of the living God is in you. You can begin to forgive the people who have betrayed you. You can begin to be generous when you thought that you had to be stingy. You can begin to do all of those things that Jesus calls us to do, but only once you say yes to him, because only then will you have the Spirit of the living God in you. So, the resurrection of Jesus means that you get to live forever. And the resurrection of Jesus means that you get to live now. He's the resurrection and the life. You don't just exist. You don't just hang on. You don't just hold on for dear life. No, you get to truly live because you have Jesus Christ. But how do you get him? Well, Jesus said it himself in John chapter 11. He said, whoever believes in me. And then he looked at Martha and he said, do you believe? And that's the question today on Easter. You've heard the benefits that he'll allow you to live forever. And not only that, you'll even be able to live now. That's why I can have hope in the midst of coronavirus. Some people think I'm crazy, but I'm not scared. I may die. My life is in the Lord's hands. same as yours. But I'm not afraid because I know that if I die, I'll miss my family. I'll miss out on doing some things I want to do, but I know this. My life has already been tied up with the life of Christ, and I will spend eternity with Him, first in paradise, and then as He returns to rule and reign and redeem this earth. So I'm not afraid, and you don't have to be afraid either. You can have this kind of hope, hope that will let you live knowing that your eternity is secure, and hope that will let you live knowing that you can have purpose and passion here today. The greatest thing that you could ever do is to live with a life surrendered to Jesus Christ. So today, that's the invitation. In the same way that Jesus looked at Martha and said, "Do you believe?" I'm asking you the same question. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is not a prophet or a teacher, but that He is God in flesh? Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sin, that He paid that price to give you forgiveness with God? Do you believe that God the Father raised Jesus Christ the Son from the dead 3 days later? And do you believe that the Spirit of the living God will take up residence in you if you say yes to Him? If you do, you can say yes today, right now, and you can have the assurance of eternal life, and you can have purpose in this life right here, right now. So that's my challenge to you today. Say yes to Him, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. So here's what we're going to do. If you're watching on our website, there's going to be a button. If you're watching on Facebook, there's going to be a link. I just want to invite you to click on that button or that link and decide today, yes, I am ready to follow Jesus. It's almost like you're raising your hand. You're saying, right now in this moment, I believe those things and I want to move forward. We want to put some resources in your hand. We're going to send you a book and we're just going to reach out to you, one of our team members. Now, here's what I want you to know. It might feel a little weird because, you know, you're watching this on a screen and you think, well, does it really matter? We've already had people who have emailed me, who've sent us messages, who've clicked on these links, they've said yes to Jesus, and we've already sent these resources. So I want you to know these are real people, real team members, flesh and blood, that are responding right now. So you can click that button and they're going to follow up with you because they want to help you because they know that this is the biggest decision you'll ever make. You'll get hope, you'll get truth, and you'll get everything that you need. So this is the moment for you today. I don't want you to feel disconnected, but I want you to feel hope. I want you to feel the truth that God loves you and that He wants you to be brought into His family. So the question we leave with today, do you believe? And if the answer is yes, I hope that you will click the link, click the button, raise your hand and let us know so that we can come alongside you. We want to help you out. Well, this has been a great opportunity and a great day celebrating the resurrection. I hope that if you're someone who's been following Jesus a long time, you've been refreshed and restored, energized, and remembering that you have access to the Spirit of the living God. If you need prayer today or encouragement, reach out to us through the app or through Facebook and just let us know that you need prayer. We want to pray with you right now. And like I said, real people are there ready to pray with you even right now. In fact, I'm going to pray for us and pray for anyone here who has already made that decision or needs to make that decision as we prepare to conclude our service today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the truth that Jesus is alive. Thank you, God, for the truth that the resurrection gives us life forever and that the resurrection gives us life now. God, our prayer is that we would be people who would take this and live it day in and day out. Lord, I pray right now for those who are making the decision to follow you for the first time, that they would have the courage to click the button and get the resources so that they can take next steps. And God, for those who have already said yes, that they would remember that they have access to the Spirit, that they would cry out to God, they would run to your word, and they would let the Spirit of the living God fill them so that they could live day by day in your power, bringing hope and your kingdom each and every day. We love you, God. We thank you for this truth and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. At HNW, our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. Because of that, we would love to invite you to get connected here at HNW. For more info, go to hnw.org/newhere. Again, thank you for listening. Have a great day.